Blog Talk Radio.
Social psychologist Dr. James Pennebaker is a leading expert on the power of journaling. Wikipedia notes that over the course of his career, Pennebaker has studied the nature of physical symptoms, health consequences of secrets, expressive writing, and natural language, and has received grants from the National Science Foundation and other organizations, other federal agencies for studying language, emotional, and social dynamics. So there's mounting evidence that regular journal writing positively impacts your mind, body, and spirit. Daily stories of things that happen in your life each day are worth jotting down in a notebook to keep forever. Today we'll talk about specific topics you can write about and how to organize your thoughts into sections or categories for easy recall. As I had discussed in last week's show, how you can capture your own stories, your own joys and sorrows won't really take you more than 20 minutes each day. It's the basis of my fourth book, my personal journal, Chronicle Your Life One Day at a Time. Listen to today's show and find out how specific data proves your journaling can really help you in terms of long-lasting health. This is Carol Copeland-Thomas, and you are listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. This is Carol Copeland-Thomas. I'm so glad that you are listening to today's show. It's a beautiful spring day here in Massachusetts, and yes, spring is definitely here. I think it's going to stick around, and hopefully we won't see any more snowflakes for several months. It'll be really good for me and all of us in terms of improving our spirit and our attitude here in the Northeast. I hope that wherever you are doing well and getting ready, if you are a Christian, for the height of the Christian season. Entering next week, we will have Palm Sunday on Sunday and then Easter the following Sunday. High Holy Week, most important time in the Christian calendar. So early congratulations and blessings to everybody who is of that faith and persuasion as I am. Well, I did last week's show, and as I normally do, I do some preparation. I try to focus on a particular topic that I am interested in or certainly one that I know about. Journaling is just like second nature to me. I've been journaling for 17 years now, as I had mentioned last week, because of the death of my son. It was a form of self-help for me in therapy. Little did I realize that show pretty much jumped off the chart. I've had several people to download last week's show, and that's a key indicator that there was real interest. So I wanted to continue the topic this week and dig a little bit deeper. We will talk a little later about the various topics that you can use in terms of journaling and how it can become a process. For me, it is just second nature. I get up in the morning, I journal as I did today, and I go on about my business. I read passages of scripture. That's part of my routine, and it's just a part of my daily activities. And I am out of town, as I have been earlier this week. I went to our annual conference in Norwalk, Connecticut, and I will go back there tomorrow, because my young grandchildren are going to be dancing during youth night, and then I'll be there all day on Saturday. It becomes a little cumbersome, and now I just don't worry about journaling until I return home. Or I'll capture my thoughts with my note pages on my laptop, and then I will just transfer it onto paper and erase all the information online after the fact. So you can do that as well. But the main fact is that it's a habit for me. It's like brushing my teeth. It's something I do routinely, and I guess I'm pretty addicted to it from a positive point of view. Dug a little bit deeper and wanted to talk about, because I've heard about the scientific reasons why journaling is healthy for you. And sure enough, there is definitely growing an amount of data that is showing that this is a natural form of healing, of self-discovery, and an opportunity for you to really clear the air and positively impact your health from a mind, body, and spirit perspective. There's more details. There's several articles that have been written. You can do your own Google search. Go look at scientific data on journaling or healthy reasons to journal or data for journaling, anything like that, any combination like that. We'll pull up a number of different articles where you can read for yourself the health benefits for journaling. So what has been an ancient art in terms of journaling, I went online and said journaling is the oldest and the most widely practiced form of self-help through reading. Is that keeping a personal journal or a diary as a distinct from a diary or a calendar of appointments in which the writer records their most meaningful thoughts and feelings. So it goes back centuries, nothing new. But what now scientists are able to do and social psychologists are able to do is to really see the connection between journaling and healthy lifestyles and improvement in health. The University of Rochester Medical School has a really good article that talks about the benefits of journaling, and increasingly other universities and other research centers are also doing the same. And basically they are doing exactly what I talked about in my book, making sure that it's done on a regular basis, making sure that you are chronicling all of the important levels of information about journaling in a way that will just sort of brain dump. It becomes a brain dump. You can just park everything in that particular document, and psychologically it does help and improves your way of thinking and your health. Now, it doesn't mean that your problem's going to disappear. I don't think anything in life can put you in a bubble where you don't have any problems. That's including religion, diet, exercise, sex, romance, whatever, a great job, lots of money, nothing will keep you away from problems. So let's not get off on that track. You're going to have problems. If you're living and if you're breathing, you're going to have conflict. It's how you cope with that conflict, how you deal with disappointments, challenges, obstacles, whatever you're facing. That's where journaling can certainly be of support and of help to you. I also ran across a gentleman who is the social psychologist that I mentioned in my setup piece, Dr. James Pittabacker, to just verify some of the information that I found online about him in Wikipedia and also other places. He is the Centennial Liberal Arts Professor and the chair of the Department of Psychology at the University of Texas in Austin. And he's the member of the Academy of Distinguished Teachers. If you go to my website today, tellcarole.com, that's T-E-L-L-C-A-R-O-L-E, click through to Carol's blog, you will find out and read more information about Dr. Pennebaker. Well, I went even further and found his phone number and called the University of Texas, and they gave me his direct line, and luck would have it, I talked to him on the phone very quickly, very briefly, and let him know that I was having today's show, and I wanted to make sure I was pronouncing his name correctly. So I will be inviting him on my show, on a future show, so that we can learn more about the scientific reasons why journaling is beneficial for your health. What I determined Dr. Pennebaker has done is he has looked at extreme cases of grief, stress. It is stemmed from his relationship that he had, his marriage many years ago, that triggered this interest in seeing the connection between journaling and healing, or not journaling and not healing. And what the information has shown is that over the course of his career, and I'm reading again from Wikipedia, Pennebaker has studied the nature of physical symptoms, health consequences of secrets, expressive writing, and natural language, and has received all these grants from many organizations. The pioneer of writing therapy, he has researched the link between language and recovering from trauma and has been recognized by the American Psychological Association, which is the top organization in this country, as one of the top researchers on trauma, disclosure, and health. So again, his research goes back probably 20 years. I will definitely follow up and get more information on the research that he has conducted so that we can see the link. And to me, I'm excited because here I've written a whole book on this just based on my own experience and 17 years of journaling and why it certainly has helped me. And then I thought about it and said, my goodness, well, I look at my own health, thank God. My health is pretty good. And as happens with many people, once something very traumatic happens, it can take you into a whole different range of health issues, stress issues, et cetera. I remember during that awful time in 1997, losing 10 pounds that week. I remember that because I wasn't eating. It was just I was just too much in shock. But even during that time and after that time, I never self-medicated. I never took any drugs. I ran to the psychiatrist for psychological treatment, and I was under the psychologist's care for several weeks, so I definitely did that. But in terms of medication, that was not for me. It was just not part of my equation for healing. I knew it was going to be extremely difficult. I knew it was going to take many, 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 many months to just be able to hold my head up and to not cry after my son died. And for me, and again, I'm just speaking for myself, but for me, writing became my excuse. It became my salvation. Writing, I would say three things: writing, prayer, and listening to sacred songs that I could relate to, particularly songs of struggle, trials, and tribulations. And as I'd mentioned last week and elsewhere, and I put it in the book as well, Bishop Carlton Pearson and his song Farther Away that he sings, that's an old spiritual song that was written many years ago, but he sings that song, and the way he sings that song was something I could relate to. So those became ways for me to move out of the darkness that I was in. And writing really was at the key of it. Now, clearly, since that time, many other things have happened, as I've mentioned to you on other shows, but still the writing piece became the equation and the antidote and the prescription for me to move forward. Now I read that that is exactly what scientists are now proving is helping many people. There is a direct relationship with some of the testing that's been done looking at people who have had rheumatoid arthritis and other illnesses and having them to actually write about their experiences, the trauma, the issues that they're going through, and then having some level of healing that's taking place. I read one article that quoted Dr. Pennebaker, but it also quoted others, Nancy Lennon, who lectures on writing and health at Canyon Ranch, which is a very, very prestigious spa in Tucson, Arizona. And she said, I haven't found one person who said journaling didn't help them. Also, she said, journaling slows you down. It's a whole body experience. When I journal, it's not coming from my head, but it's connected to something beyond that. It comes from the gut. So that's why we're never concerned about your punctuation, you're making sure your sentence structure works. That is immaterial. That just doesn't matter. It's getting those thoughts out on paper and putting them there that is just a direct benefit and a real, real help for people who are journaling. Also, Joshua Smith, who is the associate, who was, I'm not sure if he's there now, this is a dated article that I'm reading, but he was the associate professor of psychology from North Dakota State University. He published a study some time ago that was in the Journal of American Medical Association showing that 47% of patients with asthma and rheumatoid arthritis improved after writing about the most traumatic event in their lives. So clearly the asthma can be triggered by emotions. the rheumatoid arthritis can be triggered by stress. So if you go to that point in your life where you're rethinking about something that's awful happened to you or something that you are stressed over, clearly there is that connection between your health consequences and whatever issues you're dealing with in your daily lives. I find this really, really fascinating, and I think it's probably going to be something that will go into a second book that I will write or an improved book that I will write going forward, just about these whole connections between the scientific impact of journaling and how it impacts you and affects your mind, your body, and certainly your spirit, your attitude in life. So with that said, let me share with you a ways that you can write regularly. I know that some people may be enthusiastic about writing, and it's something you want to do, and you're on a real high, and you get your notebooks, and you read my book or whatever, and you do it for a couple of days, and then life happens again, and you are distracted. This is really something that you have to commit yourself to. That's the most important thing. You've got to commit yourself to journaling regularly. Now, again, as I mentioned in my book, you can journal every week or every month or periodically. I think the most important and the most impactful way to journal is to journal every day. So that's finding the space and the time where you can carve out up to 20 minutes a day, as I mentioned last week. Maybe it's 15 minutes for you. Maybe you tack on some other activities or however it works for you, but it's a regular routine way of parking those thoughts down on paper. Now, I've devised a way where you can take all those thoughts, and let's say you want to, you're a very pragmatic and scheduled person, and so you're saying, what am I going to write about every day? Well, think about taking your ideas and thoughts and putting them into four quadrants, four different sections. A quadrant is just a section. So if I were to do that, I would take a piece of paper, and this is how I would encourage you to do this. Take one piece of paper, just a blank piece of paper, and draw a line down the middle of the paper. And then draw another line horizontally. So you've got horizontally the paper divided in half and vertically the paper divided in half. So it's just like a cross that you would put on that paper. And obviously when you put that cross in place, you'll have four different sections. So if I were to start over to my left, my far left top quadrant, top section, I would like for you to write the word happy there. And if I were to take you down to the bottom left quadrant, I would like for you to write the word sad somewhere in that section. Not too large, but somewhere in that section. You're going to come back and do something in a little bit. Then the top right-hand quadrant, you'll want to write the word relationship. And then underneath it, problem solving. So relationships, that should be plural, relationships. And then problem solving. And then the bottom right-hand quadrant, you will put the word opportunities, and then underneath it, dreams. So you have four different quadrants. First left top quadrant is happy. The bottom left-hand quadrant, sad. The top right-hand quadrant, relationships. Problem solving, that's problem solving is underneath it, and then the bottom right-hand quadrant, opportunities, and underneath that, dreams. So this is how you can begin to even pre-arrange information, stories, stuff you haven't still resolved into these four quadrants. The first one with happy is the quadrant where good stuff happens to you that you just are excited about, such as me actually talking to Dr. Pennebaker. This is not just something I've read. I've now talked to him on the phone, and he will be invited on the show, and hopefully we will be able to get that scheduled in the next few weeks or so. So that's a great moment. Another happy piece could be you found a parking space when you're in a very crowded parking lot and you have minimal time because you have an appointment and somebody pulls out just as you are pulling into that particular parking aisle, that lane, and you get an instant parking lot, a parking space. That would be a happy moment, just something that happens to you. Say happy things that happen to you. I'm excited because my younger daughter is getting married later on this month, and so we're going to have a very nice private ceremony, and that's going to be a very happy occasion. So think of the happy things that are going on in your life, and that would determine that particular section or that quadrant. Down at the bottom, the exact opposite. It's sad. So clearly, sad things that happen, tragic things that happen, disappointments that are just, you're still thinking about them, things that somebody said to you that are still up in your brain and you can't release it, health issues that just are lingering, anything that makes you sad or troubles you or is just very, very focused on some of the realities of life that we have to face, because as I said at the beginning of the hour, even though journaling is very helpful in healing, it will not eliminate your problems. They will definitely hit. So whatever the sad things are, they can go down to that quadrant. And I've done this kind of exercise before with my workshops, a different kind of model, but so often I see people where their whole list is just really filled with problems and the happy part is just practically empty. I hope that's not the case for you, but list those nonetheless. Up at the top right-hand quadrant of this sheet that you've divided in half and then half again, that top right-hand quadrant with relationships and problem-solving, those issues and those problems that you have at this quadrant, this section, these are the ways that you are going to either confront your issues, you're going to think about the problems that can be solved or resolved, or whatever mechanism is in place or that you are searching for, that information would go in that particular quadrant. Or let's say you are facing relationship opportunities or relationship ways that you can resolve an issue that deals with the relationship. Those kind of things can go in that particular quadrant. Now, remember, you're just setting this up so that you'll be able to pull from these various sections when you are writing in your journal every day. This is just like a heads up. It's a primer. It's a resource information based on your life. Maybe there's an article that you've written. Maybe you've written an or you've read an article about a particular topic or subject, whether it's journaling or bicycle riding or whatever it happens to be. And it gives you specific steps that you can follow in terms of problem solving. That kind of information or that reference point can go into that quadrant. And then down at the bottom, the last quadrant deals with opportunities or dreams or visionary ways that you see yourself in the future or just something that is promising or promised to you. Now, case in point, 2 years ago, this is down with the bottom quadrant in terms of dreams. And I've talked about this, and this really is very powerful. When you write down your aspirations and the opportunities and the things that you're looking to do in the future, trust me, when you write that down and you sincerely look at it and it really becomes a hope and a promise, it can happen in your life. It has happened to me over and over again. 2 years ago when I wrote my book on multiculturalism, I had a section in there about get a passport and leave the country, just go somewhere so that you can learn about other cultures. And my dream was to go to India. I had not been there. I have Indian friends here. It is just such a fascinating country, and it was one place that I wanted to go. Little did I realize 2 years ago when I wrote that book and I wrote that section and I estimated how much money was going to be needed, et cetera, and I said, this is where I need to save X number of dollars, and I put that in there. And it was something I had also written about in my journal as well. Little did I realize that here 2 years later, Next month, I'm going to India. I have my ticket. I have paid totally on my trip. I'm going with a group to a conference that we are having in India. And I truly believe that the seed was planted 2 years ago because information was written down, and ultimately I was fortunately able to act on it. So this whole section here in terms of opportunities and dreams provides you with a way for you to plant seeds in your life daily so that promising and positive things can happen to you in the future. And now we have scientific evidence that journaling definitely works. So you have this quadrant. Again, let me just repeat myself because we have folks in the chat room who have joined us. I ask that you just get a piece of paper. You divide that paper horizontally in half with a line. You then do the same with a vertical line so that you have four different sections on that pieces of paper. The top left-hand quadrant talks about happy things that are happening or will happen in your life. Down at the bottom, the section down at the bottom left-hand side, sad things that have happened. And as I mentioned before, hopefully the top quadrant will have a lot more information than the bottom quadrant. Then up at the top right-hand section deals with relationships or problem solving, how you deal with some of the tough stuff in your life. And again, these are just things that you are parking on this sheet of paper that you will then begin to discuss in your journal. And then the bottom quadrant are opportunities and or dreams, the things that you see for yourself in the future where you are planting seeds. So this can be an absolute way for you to get a jump start every day on journaling, because I can imagine some people will say, I don't know what, especially if you have not been disciplined in writing, and if writing is not a strength for you, this can be an opportunity for you to pre and in advance do the planning necessary so that the writing will come easily every day. You could even think about ways where you can, in addition to this model, think about ways where you can rotate. Maybe 1 week all you do is talk about your work issues or your work opportunities. And then the next week you talk about personal issues. And the next week you talk about relationships or new things or opportunities that are coming into your life. And the next week you talk about the organizations you belong to and the responsibilities you have. So you can section off your journal any way you want, where it's themed, or maybe, again, as I mentioned in my book, you bounce back and forth and you have a hybrid version, so you have pictures or poetry or songs or the lyrics to songs that you are relating to. There are just lots of things. I went to this church conference, our annual conference for New England yesterday, heard a brilliant message by Dr. Alvin Johnson, who is a longtime minister in our church, but just a real theologian and researches an awful lot. And he preached a brilliant message on rare, medium, well done. It was you could graphically go there, you could see it, and it gave me so much food, pardon the pun, for thought about things that I can talk about and document and journal going forward. So the world is at your feet. This is something that now has been shown scientifically, where journaling can really improve your health and your character, your life, your mind, your body, your spirit. We will definitely have Dr. Pennebaker on the show in the coming weeks to talk more about his research about this. In the next day or so, I apologize for being a little late on this. My book has actually been out since January, but in the next couple of days, I promise I'll have click-through information where you can actually order the book. It'll also be on Amazon.com in the next couple of days. So that will be there as well. But trust me, this is an opportunity for you to take control and to manage your life. This is a show about empowerment, focus on empowerment. It's been a topic of mine for many, many years now. But now it's just a matter of connecting the dots and having the writing to really help you out from a positive perspective. Have a great week. We'll be back next week with another important show. Thanks so much for listening. Take care. Have a great week or weekend wherever you are. And journal every day. Bye.